My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Obviously, we got to start thinking about Game 2 of the ALCS. We are within 2 hours of that, and we're going to get to Stephen Vogt here in just a minute. But I heard, and I'm not trying to paraphrase what Lima said. I believe, though, there was a conversation this morning with the Morning Boys about whether or not the pressure is off the Yankees now. And I simply think we're thinking about this from the Cleveland perspective. If you think the pressure is off the Yankees, one playoff game doesn't get this done. The Yankees, there's a bottom line. Yeah. Either the Yankees win this series or it's a complete failure of a season.
Not even a question, by the way.
And by the way, it's not even how we're thinking about it, like within the confines of the series. How the Yankees, it's nationally. If the Guardians win this series, or honestly, every time the Guardians win a game, the pressure is only going to amplify on the Yankees. No, yes, pressure was put on the Guardians. It was not taken off the Yankees.
I wish people consumed as much New York sports talk radio as I consumed, because they would know. I swear, Nick, people acted like that was a loss. They acted like the way that Boone handled the 7th, 8th, and the 9th inning, and then even using Weaver for as many as the outs as he did for 5 outs of the game, but really going to Hill in the 8th, like they acted as if that was a disaster. Right now, they think Chisholm couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. They think Wells is one of the worst hitters they've ever seen. Like they are panicking right now in many parts of New York. They're excited about the win, obviously, but like that was, if I didn't know the score, Nick, I would have thought the Guardians won 12-1.
Yeah, well, because I think, if you're the Guardians, you're thinking, well, okay, just don't throw Joey Cantillo tonight, and maybe don't put Will Brennan in there, a key moment for
David. So we don't have checks on both of those.
I do think it's interesting tonight that David Fry is not in the lineup. Kyle Manzardo is the DH in batting second.
Yeah, he has some good at-bats, and he's getting rewarded for it.
So I actually think that's one of the things to look for tonight. I think Manzardo gave you a great at-bat late in that game for a rookie in that position was great. And here's the other thing. It gives you that weapon of pinch hitting David Fry for somebody. I know he's only DH'd recently, but for somebody, if you need it, I actually think that puts you in a really good situation.
There's a couple things about the lineup I think is interesting. I mean, I love the idea that he went back to Naylor being in the 4 spot. I like Naylor in the cleanup spot. I do. I think against
a righty for sure.
I think it invokes some confidence in him, though. I think it's almost like a vote of faith by Stephen Vogt.
A vote.
See how that worked? Wow, man, he really could run for office, couldn't he? It just writes itself.
Just vote for me.
Just vote for
Stephen.
He had to have in like 7th grade, ran for one of the student run government bodies.
I mean,
off that premise alone.
Why just elected things? Couldn't you just do that for like a job interview? A vote for Steven is a vote for America?
Or just at a job interview?
Or just a vote for America?
I would kick him out of the job interview if he did that. Or if he like brought like candies that say like vote for vote on it. I'm like, it's a nice gesture. You don't get the job.
That's why you'll never be the boss. I'm sorry. Somebody's got to tell you this.
We know this about me.
So
not a boss guy.
What else do you like about the lineup?
I love that idea. I love that in a time where some of the fan base is questioning whether Josh Naylor should even be in the lineup, which is a little ridiculous. He's sitting there and saying, I'm going to take you from the 5 spot and put you up to the 4 spot, and this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, I think the Naylor stuff, so the Naylor criticism is spot on. He's not been good for 2 months, and you need him. If you want to win a World Series, there's no way him hitting a buck in the rest of this mm-hmm. series and the next series that you can win a World Series if one of your 5 best hitters, and certainly your 2nd best power hitter, can't come through at least once or twice a series. I'm not talking about an RBI single. Like, we're not doing the Cecil Fielder thing, all right?
Or the Prince Fielder thing,
any fielder. Any of the fielders, infielders, outfielders, Cecil, Prince, whatever. But no, I do think, like, Nathan. He needs home runs. That's basically what you are here for. If you're going to swing for the fences, just don't miss. But I think where people get it wrong with Naylor is the criticism's right. It's just he's got to be better. Like this, not everything is, well, he's not playing well, so bench him. Very few teams.
No, just what's really tough right now with Naylor, Nick, is that it doesn't even seem like J-Ram last night, you saw him hit the ball hard, and you saw him try to at least find the gaps, and it looked like there was a couple opportunities where it's like, hey, maybe that gets down. It didn't, but he hit the ball really hard. Naylor's not even doing that. He's whiffing, and it's not even close.
Yeah, I mean, his hard hit balls are usually directly at somebody, or they're the lowest trajectory. Like, there's no.
Did you watch it? Did you go? And I don't know if you did this or not, but like I get very into at bats, and then trying to figure out where what the pitches were and where they were located and where they are in any sort of whatever. You get it.
Yeah.
And his pitches they're not even throwing strikes to him, and he's swinging at basically everything.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny, like. That is the number one thing we've not talked nearly enough about from game one. The obvious things of them beating themselves were Cantillo throwing every other pitch into the dirt and Bo Naylor not blocking it.
Right.
The obvious thing was Will Brennan pinch hitting, who is a nice regular season pinch hitter. Guys, he hasn't done diddly squat in the postseason. He's not going to because he's not a postseason player. He is a platoon player, and you're not platooning right now. I'll take Jonkensie Noel swinging and missing in 5 straight, or at 5 straight pitches. I'll take that because of the threat of the power.
Well, not tonight, you won't, because he's not in the lineup.
You're right. Will Brennan is, but those are the easy things. The simplest thing, and this hurts you in the Tiger series as well. You can't chase bad pitches. Good pitches.
And that's where Rodon got him. Got him on that. He threw a lot of bad pitches in the dirt, a lot of bad pitches all over the place, and Naylor was swinging at both Naylors were swinging at all of them.
And so in this game, if you're going to continue to do that, then home runs matter. And I think the only – so to get back to the Yankee side of this, I think one of the concerns here is, quite frankly, the Yankees didn't play their best game either.
Not at all. Nowhere close.
So, well, but I think that is something that we can say. They can play better, too.
One hit in that third inning, Nick. I mean, it was a home run, but they had one hit. We gave them 4 walks. We loaded the bases for them.
I don't think we should sleep on that. The Yankees can play better, too.
Sure.
And so
sure.
I think this whole thing was set up to emphasize game 2. We want to maximize. We want to have our bullpen ready. We want to have this ready. We want to have that ready. Like, I get it. Same point. They can play better, too. So you got, like, this is...
Mm-hmm.
Like, you best not miss on this one.
Well, that's why
game 2, yeah, you better win game 2.
That's why it kind of felt like you let him get away with one. Excuse me. That was the problem with last night's game. Like, that was a very winnable ball game by every stretch of it. And you waited for Boone to make the mistake, and he made the mistake as far as his bullpen usage, and you started to capitalize, but you weren't able to get it through. Like, but that's game 1, where we might look back on it by the time we get to game 6 or 7, but game 1 was a very winnable game. Yankees didn't do anything to earn that game.
And I think that's so that's where the must-win energy does have to come in today, is if they didn't play their best game and you gave them a game, you've got to play your best game, and you kind of still have to make sure they're not playing their best ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've just put so much pressure on this. Like, that's where the Guardians do have pressure. Because, again, no pressure was subtracted from the Yankees. Because one game, even winning the game, no matter how they won it, One game doesn't take off the championship or bust pressure that is prevalent there, especially as they're in front of the home crowd. But tonight the pressure is you put a lot of eggs into this basket. Now you got to go ahead and scramble them.
Did you think Vogt, yeah, it could be close enough. Did you think Vogt was playing too loose almost then? Like, because you mentioned a couple times that he was almost like this cavalier attitude about taking game one. Did you think the lack of pressure on Vogt is why we saw him go to Cantillo and maybe not Heron? As if, like, I mean, because if that is a winner take all game, there is no way in the world you're throwing Cantillo out there on the mound in that moment.
I think Cantillo, Brennan in the eighth inning, I think just the overall feel of we're not going to break glass on any of our high leverage pitchers. They told you the only way they were winning that game yesterday with the way they handled it in game was if the Yankees gave it away, and the Yankees didn't. Listen, the Yankees could have done. If it was a Yankee error or this, that, or the other, or, I mean, honestly, Aaron Boone's handling of his own bullpen within that game.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way you're winning that is if you didn't give away the game first. This game, like, you better go take it. Because I'll be honest with you, if you're 0-2 tomorrow and this game they just played better than you, I'm going to say you screwed up in game one. Because you might get a gimme. You might get one game that either they give you or you give them. But you come back to Cleveland fighting for your very life. It can be done. The series won't be over.
For sure.
You have more opportunity to screw things. Sorry, you have more opportunity to fix things in a 7-game series. It doesn't guarantee a 7 games. You just got to take care of the game in front of you. And I think that's what tonight is about. Bibee's on the bump. You got everybody in the pen. Then you have the off day until game 3 coming up on Thursday. All right, you've got to pay it off. You've done the thing of, we emphasize one game over another. Okay, but if you lose, then we're talking about your margin for error really gets nil really, really quickly.
I just hate the idea that they emphasize one game over another. I really do. I hate it, but his actions tell me that he did just that. The Cantillo move tells me he did just that. I hate that mentality, though, with this. I really do.
I do, but I understand it. I do. There's an element of logicking. There's an element of logic in that I understand, but it only works if you split the first two games.
Well, I mean, in my opinion, he got greedy with it. That's what happened there. He got greedy with it.
216-474-0092. We're doing a very good job speaking the English language, which I've been raised in my whole life there. Do you guys really think the pressure is off the Yankees? And when we come back, we are going to get to Steven Vogt's pregame thoughts. I almost said postgame thoughts there. We'll also get into your thoughts on the Guardians' chance here. How do you get game number two? How do you bring this thing back to Cleveland tied at ones? That's next on 92.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Who has to come through tonight the most for the Guardians? We'll get into that, but here is Guardians manager Steven Vogt from earlier today talking pregame ahead of game two.
Steven, with Ben replacing Alex, just do you have any plans on how you might get through the middle games with your starting pitching? Is Ben available out of the bullpen, or how will you handle that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're working through a lot.
you know, first of all, I have to talk about how bummed we are for Alex. Everything he's been through this year and with us in and out, IL, off the IL, and then for him to have a new back strain last night, I just feel for him and what he's been through, and so thankful for what he gave us. And then in light of that, you know, Ben will be on the roster and he'll be available out of the bullpen. But we also have the option to start him later as the series goes. We're still working through what we're going to do games 3, 4, and 5.
As great a bullpen as you have, what are some of the challenges of trying to game plan a postseason series and then utilize them in the right way?
I think it's, you know, we know our guys and we try to put them into positions to succeed. And when it goes well, it's great. And when it doesn't, then there's the questions. And but for us, it's put our guys into positions to face guys that they have a good chance of getting out. And we navigate the game that way. And we know what they're capable of as far as how many pitches, as far as how long to push them, how long not to. And it can be challenging, but we've had a lot of practice at it. Our regular season has been very similar. And so for us, it's just that.
Does the format give you more possibilities for creativity with a couple off days sprinkled in?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, you know, for us, our, you know, Tanner specifically tonight, Tanner's been great all year. And so we're excited to see him go, and we, our bullpen's in a good position.
Does the injury to Cobb, does that impact anything for you guys today?
I'm sorry?
As far as just trickle down to the entire pitching staff, with Cobb being sidelined and you guys having to reshuffle, does that change the approach today at all?
I mean, it does, just because we don't know what we're going to have. You know, Alex was going to start game 5, and now we have to figure out today, and knowing that we have, you know, 6 more games to cover.
And then broadly, like you've said that you don't go into a game with a plan, and you're obviously going to watch and see how things unfold on the field, but is today a game that theoretically with an off day tomorrow, you could be more aggressive with some of those top relievers that didn't get into the game yesterday?
Yeah, we have a plan going into the game. It's just we don't script things, you know. You know, I think we are going to be aggressive. We've been aggressive all year with our bullpen, so that's not going to change just because of today. We're going to use the same cadence we've used all year long, and we have a very good bullpen, and we bring them in when it's time.
Did Alex go for tests or scans today, and what did they show?
After the game last night, was diagnosed with a lower back strain, and that's, you know, we had to make a decision, and it's just unfortunate.
And there was no chance he'd be available 10 days, just the type of the severity?
This type of injury would be a full-blown IL stint, and we, you know, and with the timing of the year, the chances of him pitching again were very, very, very slim.
Steven, if Lively gets a chance to start, what do you like about him? What is he showing you this season?
Ben's been one of our most consistent starters. I think the thing with Ben is he's uber competitive. He attacks the zone. He throws strikes. He has the ability to keep people off balance. We've seen it all year long with Ben, and we trust him. We love having him, and we know he's going to go out and compete and give us everything he has.
Where does Gavin Williams fit into this? Is he also a candidate on one of these games to start?
Yeah, he's definitely a candidate for sure. I mean, Gavin, we've seen what he can do for us, and you know, we've had games where he's available out of the bullpen. We've had games where, you know, we haven't been the plans to start. So as the series unfolds, that'll become more clear.
Big picture on where you are now, like, I mean, at the start of spring training, like you mentioned, a couple of the relievers who you were counting on, who you don't have. I mean, Bieber and McKenzie were supposed to be big guys. They're not here. Did you know that you had this much depth? And if you had known that those guys would be out, did you think you'd be sitting here?
I don't think we knew. You know, I think you look at, you know, every team experiences injuries and losses. And for us, you know, our roster looks very different than it did on opening day. And when you lose, you know, Karinchak, Stephan, Bieber early in the year, Sam Hinches, you know, we lost some big impact arms, and we've had a number of people step up, you know, Sobrowski, Walters, Eli Morgan, Nick Sandlin, you know, Cade Smith, Hunter Gaddis, Tim Herron. These guys have stepped up and really done a nice job. And, you know, Ben Lively has been a huge story for us. So, I mean, we didn't have Gavin Williams for the first 4 months of the year. You know, we've been through a lot. This team has overcome a lot of things, and we know we belong here. And the beauty of this team is it's not, oh no, it's who's next, who's going to step up for their teammates. And that's why I love this group so much, is they've all stepped up for each other all year long.
Guardians manager Steven Vogt, I hate that we had to start the press conference on an Alex Cobb thing, because he immediately went to the it was the bedside manner voice. They were obviously very disappointed for Alex Cobb.
Tightened up there.
No. Guys, it was one game. And it sucks for Alex Cobb, and it does sound like he's done for the year.
They talk about postseason injuries like people are dying it's okay.
That's okay. It's just another injury.
It's another injury.
And I'll be honest with you. I think the guy that has to step up the most tonight is Steven Vogt. I think his handling of Matthew Boyd in Game 5 led you to having to stretch out guys in the bullpen and take risks that you couldn't afford in Game 5. You got lucky there.
Yeah.
I think in Game 1, it's not overmanaged. He just didn't make the right decisions. Those are two different things. He managed the same way that I think when he's pulling the right strings is the right way to win games in the postseason.
Yeah,
but you can't put Brennan in.
You can't put Cantillo in, but you heard him right there in that in the little press conference there. He mentioned how he has a game plan going in, and it just kind of felt like that's exactly what happened yesterday. He had a game plan, and he didn't want to deviate from that, and I think that's where it cost him. Because I think he told himself, first guy out, if the matchups are what they are and you get lefties up there at the plate, he was going to throw Cantillo in there, and it just never made sense in that moment. Not with the runners on and not the way that the game had unfolded. Like, he's got to be less a prisoner to what the game plan is that him and Antonetti and Chernoff come up with, and more of a in-game, this is what's going on and this is what I have to do, manager.
Well, I think what he's done so well is, hey, we're going to try this here. Instead, when I say try this, I mean, all right, this is where you try something. This is where you go proven. And that's what I do think it came down to, lefty-righty. If you were going up against a righty next, Avila was probably going to go in. In that moment, you have to just, there's just certain things, man, that it is that gut feel. I want that Steven Vogt back, and today's a big part of that. But for me, it's Steven Vogt. I want to get your thought on this, but Mark and Avon mm-hmm. Lake's been waiting patiently here. How are we feeling ahead of Game 2, my guy?
Sure. Thanks, guys. Jonathan, Nick, hey, Game 2, here we go. Hey, couple things. Number one, have you seen more pass balls ever in a game before? In Game 1?
No, that's brutal.
I've never seen it before. Number 2 is, I didn't think Naylor was that bad of a catcher. Am I wearing the same goggles?
He's been a lot better defensively this year, but that was a disaster performance for him and Cantillo. Either one of them could have stopped what we saw.
That's what I thought. Okay, cool. I just heard when I was driving here listening, Naylor goes from 5 to 4. Josh, that is. I like that move. You agree?
Yeah, what I like about it, Mark, and we appreciate you, buddy, what I like about it is I think against lefties, they're going to give Lane Thomas a chance at the 4 spot until Naylor finds it, and against righties, you just move Naylor back to the 4 spot. I think that's until Naylor catches fire or, I don't know, hits a home run, I think that's where it kind of makes sense.
I'm curious to know if he's going to ping pong this throughout the entire series, though.
Yeah, unless we have a 3-for-4 game for Josh Naylor.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But like, until that point, are you just gonna keep shuffling it? What do you? How far down do you eventually get with Naylor? Do you keep going with Naylor in certain spots? Like, it's gonna be. I'm curious to see what he does as we progress on. Hopefully, Naylor just snaps out of it, and we don't have to have any of those discussions.
216-474-0092. We got one segment to go. Who has to come through tonight to get the big win in Game 2 for the Guardians to bring this thing back to Cleveland tied at 1? That's next on 92.3 The Fan.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.